Welcome to Spiritually Raw. We expose and explore controversial truths, myths, and theories surrounding the spirit world. Guests include QAnon experts, investigators, debunkers, and skeptics of the supernatural, unexplained, and flat-out unimaginable. Content discussed on this show is not necessarily the opinion of the cast of Spiritually Raw, and topics quite often are for mature audiences only. This show is not intended to replace any medical, financial, or legal advice, and is for entertainment purposes only. So sit back, relax, and enjoy the ride.
Welcome to Ascended Masters, the new era of ascension is here, to a new dimension, to a new reality on earth as it is in heaven. By collectively raising our awareness, we've already pierced the veils of illusion and created a new grid where only love and light will flow.
Many souls who truly wish to attain mastery in the highest degree will often choose the greatest challenges. Light workers from around the globe have a common soul path and calling of the highest service to humanity to share their wisdom to collectively achieve Christ consciousness, the highest act of love.
The perfect harmony of mind, body, spirit, and prosperity. You are waking up and you are taking your power back. You're realigning yourself and realigning your cells. When you live consciously, you activate your energy within your place on the universal grid and align with your energetic blueprint for this lifetime to achieve your mission, your lessons, and be a catalyst for our new earth.
Each of us is blessed with a unique soul mastery gift just waiting to be unleashed. The greatest teachers from the past have taught us that with desire, passion, dedication, and the power of unconditional love for self and others, we will become the ascended masters of our universe and share our light with others.
Our soul sisters and brothers have extended the olive branch and are just waiting to take you by the hand and teach you how to shine your divine light. The Ascended Masters store provides video descriptions from the greatest minds from all over the world who share their divine teachings to help guide you on your life's journey. Browse, select, and ascend and explore conscious expanding courses, books, and products that all help you become the best version of yourself.
The time for a new ascension is now. Click on the Ascended Master who resonates with your spirit and start the path to your new life.
Spiritually Raw expresses our love and gratitude to Catherine Silver for her support of the show. Catherine is a certified holistic health counselor and shaman. Catherine specializes in biological decoding, grief and loss, and channeling. Connect with Catherine Silver at CatherineSilver.com.
Hello, everybody. How are you? And welcome to Spiritually Raw. Thank you very, very much for the energy exchange with us today. As always, we hope you woke to the most miracle morning and are also having the most fortunate day today. Alan Steinfeld is here with us today. He's our featured guest. You're going to love him. April will get you up to speed about Alan in just a second. Thank you, everybody, for continually to subscribe to the channel, connect with us, turning on the notification bell, all that good stuff. And of course, our Telegram link is in the description below where you can check out every time we get every time we notify you about great guests like Alan, who's going to be on here today. Hey, and remember, this show and its entirety will be completely uncensored at spirituallyraw.live. So don't forget to check that out. The links again will be in the description below.
Real quick, for those of you that are just starting to watch this and in our future episodes, you're going to hear us talking about this a little bit more. The Ascended Masters store, we are launching it this week. So you're probably just watched a little clip about it, but Jay, you want to just quickly give them a little overview.
So the Ascended Master Store. The Ascended Master Store is awesome, everybody. So over the last 10 years, everybody's been asking us, hey, how do you get a hold of this person? How do you get a hold of that person? So we created the Ascended Master Store because that's really, that name embodies what they really are. They are, in our opinion, the Ascended Masters, the people that are on there.
Of today's time.
They're coming here. They're divinely inspired to teach us things. And that could be their products that they make available. It could be their books. It could be their sessions, but they are here. They are teachers. So we give them the due that we feel like they are rightfully deserved. So the Ascended Master Store, really cool. Oh, here's the other cool thing about it.
It's a video. Yeah. It's a one of a kind online video directory. So each Ascended Master has a 6 to 7 minute clip, video clip of whatever it is that they're offering, whether it's their sessions, their products, their books, their YouTube channels. So you get to you get to meet them and see what exactly what they're offering and their special gifts, their unique qualities. And if you like what they are offering, all you have to do is all their information. Yeah, that's right below the video.
Yeah, their information will be in the content, but you'll really enjoy it. So don't forget, visit the Ascended Master store and don't forget to share that too. So about our guest today, yes?
Yes, let's talk about Alan Steinfeld. Let me tell you something, Alan's fun. He's an explorer of consciousness. He feels that only when the inner explorations of the soul are combined with the outer adventures of the mind can we achieve a harmonious understanding of our place in this cosmos. True is that. For over 30 plus years, Alan hosted and produced the weekly television series New Realities in New York City with 70,000 plus subscribers on his YouTube channel. Make sure you check it out. All the links will be in the description. New Realities, there have been over 20 million viewers. Why? Well, look at his book, Making Contact. Picture of a UFO. Everybody wants to know about this stuff, including luminaries in the field of health, spirituality, and UFOs, such as Deepak Chopra, Marianne Williamson, Ram Dass, and other major UFO researchers in the field. Alan informs millions about the human potential, remote viewing, and the nature of alien contact through media experiences, lectures, and conferences. He is the author of Making Contact. And we just were chatting on the show right before he came on. You're going to be in Boca Raton.
I am in January, and I'm excited. We'll get to meet. And actually, I want to hear more about who these Ascended Masters are, because I've been looking for Ascended Masters. That's been my mission.
You are your own Ascended Master.
People like
too.
You.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Who come here, yeah. Who have given 30 years of their, you know, I mean, really.
You're the classic quintessential Ascended Master of our day.
Yeah. I didn't know I was Ascended yet. I was looking for it, but thank you.
Let's see. After 30 plus years, I think you have something to share with the world.
Okay. I get it. Thank you.
It really defines that term, though, Alan. I mean, come on, really. I mean, isn't that the interpretation of Ascension, right?
Yeah, well, I thought ascension is when you kind of vibrate your body into light and you're off the wheel of karmic recycling and you're...
I'm looking at your picture right now and you look all sorts of illuminating and light. So.
That's true. Well, I guess we're all ascended. Thank you for that. Thank you, Jay.
Absolutely.
But we all are. I mean, I think I really, you know, we are, or whoever, they're the, you know, listen, it's like a muse, right? You know what I mean? You meet a muse in your life and that might be your ascended master for the day, right? And boom, gave you what you needed to get there. So Alan,
you're using ascended masters in the sense that it kind of lifts you to a new realm. Like, I get it. Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, it lifts you to a new realm and it also gets you connected and it takes off all the ego stuff about it, which is like, they're only so far. There's only like four of them. You know what I mean? That are out there, you know, kind of thing. And it's like, hey, you know, we're all the embodiment. I think a lot of spiritual teachings share with us that we are all the embodiment of these ascended masters, if you would, in some sort of spirit. So if that's the case, then hey, welcome. We're all here.
Right.
You know what I mean?
And like the saying goes, we're all created in the image of God.
That's right. Yeah. Okay.
The greatest ascended master.
Right.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So I guess it depends how you find God, define God, but that's another conversation.
Well, no, that's true too. Cause we're talking about that, but you know, I don't know your philosophy. I'd love to hear of it, but Jay and I, our philosophy is we are literally gods and goddesses in human form.
I agree with that. Yes.
Yeah. And not from a worshiping standpoint, but from a creation standpoint and just really healing and helping, you know.
Right. I'm with you.
You got me. All right, cool. 30 years, man. Wow. That's great. Hey, you know what? Thank you for your service. That's great that you committed that much to it.
Yeah. What else was I going to do, really? I mean, you know, work as an accountant or something.
Why?
Nothing wrong with it either, but you...
I think what you're doing is much better than accounting for sure.
But you know, some people like that. I don't want to judge anyone. For me, it wasn't the thing I wanted to do. I wanted to explore the unknown. I wanted to explore a spiritually raw, you know, the raw spiritual. I wanted to seek out new life and new civilizations, as they say.
Yeah.
So
are you a contactee?
I am a contactee. In the book, I write about my story of, childhood experiences, faces in the window, strange dreams, out of body, being pulled out of my body.
Wow.
what else? And then a kind of encounter in 1987, a kind of sort of face-to-face, altered state. Some people would call it an abduction, but it wasn't a negative thing. It was just so much bigger than the ordinary reality that we are used to. And that's sort of why I wrote this book, because what we're making contact with is nothing we know, we have known. It's nothing we have put in a box and say, oh yeah, I know that. That's not, in my opinion, what's out there. When you see a UFO, you call it unidentified flying, you're identifying it as unidentified, like you know what you're talking about. It is unknown. This reality that we are moving into, it is a new paradigm. It's like all bets are off. Everything we had known before, it's just washed away in a sense for a higher and new consciousness that we'll be embodying.
What happened to you in 1987?
I was traveling cross country. Thanks for asking. I was traveling cross country with a girlfriend, and from Oregon to New York, and we driving all day, 12 hours. And we just parked off the side of the road down a little dirt road that said, enter at your own risk. That's what the sign said. Little did I know that was a sign, you know, that.
Like a real sign?
It was a sign, yes.
Yeah, I gotcha.
But I think it was because of the irrigation canals that would flood there in western Nebraska, you know, through North Platte, Nebraska, they do these there. But anyway, we just kind of passed out. And then that night, we felt like we were frozen in time, suspended animation.
Wow.
And we woke up in the morning, and we both felt a little weird. And you know, the strange thing is we woke up in the same position we fell asleep in. Now, who even remembers that? Do you remember? I mean, it's like,
No, it doesn't happen.
Right. Sense was like we were taken out of this time and put into another time. It's like this film was spliced. The time-space film was, this is my sense of it, was spliced. And that was lifted out. And this other timeline happened. And then we're placed back in right where we kind of finished off. So
that's a wild experience.
That is a wild experience.
It's wild. And it's really... I'm trying to explain it, but it's really inexplicable in the terms of time and space that we have defined this reality. We define it in terms of time and space, but there's so much more time space. This is what quantum physics are saying. Time is space. Space is time. They call it space time. Mm-hmm. So this is what opened my mind up to maybe this is where these beings, whatever they are functioning in a quantum reality.
Yeah. What's your view with all this, right? I mean, are we going through a multiverse, kind of like multiple dimensions, past, present, future kind of thing going all at once? Do you subscribe to that?
Well, yeah, we had to be taken out of this normalcy where everything was predictable, and you know, everyone wants their life to be safe, secure, and predictable. That's their little comfort zone. And that doesn't get us anywhere. If you're living in your comfort zone, you're sort of stuck, you know? So we all, as a planetary civilization, were pushed out of our comfort zone to reevaluate what we really want. And we're still going through it. I mean, it's another, whatever, year or whatever the process is in this Bardo. You know, Bardo is a passageway, and we're in this birth canal. And we don't know what the other side, I mean, when you're being born, you don't know what the other side of the birth canal looks like. You just know you're being squeezed and you're leaving the security of the womb. And suddenly then you're in this new world, and we are coming into this new world. We
That's
really
a great
are.
Analogy.
That is. And it's,
yeah,
like,
we are in the birth canal.
And you're like, what the hell? Right.
Is what the hell is right. But that's a good attitude. If you can say, if you can, we have to say, oh, I want it to go back to normal. There is no normal. And you know what? There never was a normal.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that's how I felt. That's how I grew up.
It's true. No, it's just, was your Making Contact, the book, is it referencing your experience in 1987?
It does. Well, the book, maybe you haven't had a chance to read. I should have sent you a copy. Sorry.
Okay. We'll do it for next time.
It's right. Next time we'll do more of these. We'll just start an Ascended Master series. But the book is a collection of 12 essays, including mine, but the others are the people I thought were really the leaders in the field, the people who've devoted their lives. I mean, my life, yes, I've been into UFOs, but I was into a really broader spirituality, including UFOs. But these people are UFO experts. Nick Pope worked for the Ministry of Defense, Linda Moulton Howe, Whitley Strieber, John Mack, if you know who he is. He was a psychiatrist for Harvard, and he studied abductions, abductees. So I looked deep into these people's lives who devoted their whole awareness to what this phenomenon was about. So that's sort of where I come from, these kind of different aspects of this phenomenon, because I did a collection, an anthology here, because no one has the whole truth. There is no truth. There's no the truth. Everyone has a little piece of the elephant, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, so, I got you. Yes, I want to see if you can help us break some of this stuff down to the ridiculously simple, if we can, because there's a lot of going on out here. And thank you for coming on. Alien disclosure. So when you say something like, oh, alien disclosure, what exactly, again, if you could break it down to simplistic for us, what exactly are we about to be disclosed, or are we expecting to be disclosed?
Good question. And no one really knows. That's the short answer. But obviously the government has been hiding something for us for 74 years since Roswell, 1947, and maybe before, but at least from Roswell, they said, oh yeah, saucer crashes. This is the headline in the Roswell record. And they say the next day, no, we're just kidding. It was a weather balloon. So the cover-up started, and the cover-up is also probably hundreds or thousands of hours of F-16 fighter pilots following these objects in the sky. If you look even at the Stevensville sightings in 2008, Stevensville, Texas, people saw this huge thing. Following that were these, you know, jets or tracking them, probably taking footage. So just recently, in 2017, we had just the beginning of some of that footage being disclosed or released. And the government is slowly leaking out, like drop by drop. Guess what? We're not alone. We have company, you know? And
what are you thinking for? What are you thinking now? Like, why do you think, from your opinion and your research, now is the time for them to want to do that? What's their agenda?
That is another really good question. I think they realize there's an increase in sightings. First of all, worldwide, not just everyone thinks just if we're listening to this here in this country, the world does not center around this country. We are a planetary civilization. That's one of the subtexts of this book. And this is happening to everyone, everywhere. There are more sightings in France and England and Australia and China, where it's actually illegal to be a ufologist. You can't even talk about this publicly or you'll get in trouble. So
killed, probably.
Its sightings are increasing and people are having more personal experience. And I think, and this just, I don't know for sure, but I think some of the government is in touch with these aliens and they're saying, either you tell them or we'll tell them. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think there's also the key thing, if we talk about ascension and ascended masses, there's a shift in vibration, really. There's an awakening, there's a spiritual awakening, there's a conscious perception that's broadening, and it's vibratory, it's frequency. So we're moving more to the place where these beings can make contact with us. It's about making contact. So for a long time, they were much further away on a vibrational level. And now we're moving closer. So it's happening because it's a natural cycle of evolution.
What do you think they really want us to know that we don't know?
Okay. That we are all connected. We are one. We are one consciousness. And not only are we one consciousness, our consciousness is connected to them. So if we are out of order, if we are fighting with each other, that's an upset to the whole local universe. Imagine it's like all your cells in your body are unified as you. But if you get a little splinter in your small toe, it can really upset the whole body. We are the splinter in the small toe of the universe. We are.
I gotta tell you, that's the most
very, very good way to put
simplistic
it.
Way. And thank you for describing that. Cause we've always trying to figure out who are we?
They're us. We are them. I'm you. You know, when I look at you both, it's like, I know we're connected. And when you look in the eyes of these beings, they may be smarter. They may be a little weirder looking. They may be different, but on a soul level, right? Big eye. But on a soul level, the ones that have souls, not the kind of robot, but there are ones with souls, the soul quality is equal to our soul quality. So they're not greater than us. So the soul, I feel, and the kind of spiritual ideas are kind of, is the aspect of consciousness. It's consciousness doesn't mean anything unless you're ensouled. Like IA, you know, there's no soul in these robots. So there's no meaning for them. There's no essence, but because we are souled, ensouled, life has meaning, emotion has meaning, feeling is the language of the soul. So we can meet them on that level. And that's what they're waiting for us to do. Wake up to who we really are. Excuse me, you're not this warlike, primitive society. You know, the favorite pastime of humanity for the past probably 10,000 years has been tribal warfare. This is what our favorite sport is. And it's sort of the, I think, hopefully, maybe, although now everything is so polarized, but I think the polarization had to come up to show what was underneath. And only by looking at the duality can we come into unity. So,
how can you help people understand that, number one, we are connected? You did a great, great definition of it and description.
Thank you for
that. Mental, got it. we have this idea that they are so far advanced than us. But you're saying that's really not true. What is our human potential? Mm-hmm. In comparison to theirs.
Right. Well, on some level, they are more advanced than us. They're more advanced technologically. They're more advanced probably intellectually. But on like the spiritual level, they're the same. So who are we really is what you're asking. I mean, what is our potential as human beings? Well,
exactly.
If you take my remote viewing course that I'm teaching on a portal to ascension 2 weeks, you realize that your consciousness is non-local. You think, you know, it's like another analogy I like to use is like your brain is the hardware, like your computer, right? Your personality is the software. You know, you have these applications that you, but it doesn't work unless you have one more thing in it. Not electricity, that just is the end, but there's something else that makes a computer run. You know what that is?
That makes a computer run or makes us run?
Well, us and the computer. Well, let's just use the computer now.
For us, I would say love, but that doesn't work with the computer.
No, but I'm saying it's the operator. You can have the computer. Right. So the operator of the hardware and the software is consciousness. That's what's, you know, without a consciousness, if you've ever seen a dead body, it's like, well, there's no one home there. Mm-hmm. The computer's off. You know, it's like it's just sitting there. So it's like consciousness is what makes this hardware and software run. But the consciousness is not being generated by your brain. It's like the radio. If you open up the radio, you're not going to find the announcer in there. It picks up the signal. Your brains are picking up the signal of your consciousness, which is non-local. We are non-local. So that's part of who we really are. We think we're our bodies, but we're in our bodies, but our bodies are really in us. That's Deepak Chopra likes to use that. Meaning that this field of consciousness is what's operating through the body, but it's not of the body. It's beyond the body. So you need a receiver if you're going to pick it up. You need a radio if you're going to pick up a radio station. So you know, or a cell phone if someone's dialing you. But if your cell phone crashes or smashes or breaks, it doesn't mean you stop getting calls. You just need a new cell phone to get the, right?
These are exactly our cosmic sisters and brothers out there. Mm-hmm. Are those the ones that are what people have seen as, I saw my angel, I saw my thing? Do you think it's there from that spiritual level side of things? You think it's them?
Well, you know, the world is a lot more, the universe is a lot more complex than black and white and the simplest thing. So there are angels, there are deities, there are ETs, there are ultra-terrestrials, there's the extra-celestials. This is really the simplest plane there is, this 3D world, and we think, and there are levels and levels of frequency and beings and multiplicities of awareness. So yeah, there are angels, there are astral beings floating around, dead people, you know, and so much more. But we can tune it to all those frequencies. We have a handle on all of that. So there's much more to us. Yeah.
Let me ask you that. So when we, okay, before I go there, I want to ask you about tuning into the frequencies, because that's super fascinating. But I do want to ask you this. When people say I had an out-of-body experience, is that an out-of-body experience or is that an alien quote-unquote abduction?
I think people do have out-of-body experiences where they can take their consciousness and lift up out of their body. And then there are other things called abduction. So, you know, we have to really keep qualifying our terms. You say abduction is where you're sort of not actually taken out of your body. You're taken aboard with your body. You can be. I mean, there's so many different ways of looking at this. So you can be taken with your body to these craft, or you can be taken out of your body, or you can have a pizza. No, I'm kidding.
Well, no, that's actually very insightful. So if you do have an abduction per se, term abduction, we use it for this illustration purposes, are you going to know you had an abduction by I was on a ship,
you know, right? What I mean? Well, I have to tell you, when I had my abduction, I actually had a mark on my body, so it was physical.
What did it look like? Was it prominent?
It was a 4-prong puncture mark on the back of my knee after this experience. Whoa. 87, where we're taken out of this time mold. I woke up. I didn't notice it at first, but my mother actually noticed it. And I think she noticed it because, you know, abductions follow generations. So if you were abducted, your parents or maybe your mother or your father, usually the mother's side, because they actually are following that kind of development.
Genetic line.
But your father could be abducted too. So what we're saying?
That's fascinating. So there's a lineage there. Have you gotten a sense of why maybe certain families are picked?
Yeah. They like to pick, not to make anyone special, but more creative people. They want to pick people who are a little more expanded, not locked into a sort of systematic way of thinking. But they'll take, you know, when they abduct people, this is my theory and maybe some others, they take genetics, they take different genes, because why are they doing this? They have better things to do than just take people and babysit them overnight. So what they're doing, in my feeling, I don't think this is happening as much now as it was in the 80s and 90s when it was really big, but some people claim it is still happening. I don't know. I haven't had any for a while, but they take our genetics. So they may take your hair, April, and your eyes, Jay, and they're creating these hybrids, mm-hmm. because at least we're talking about the little grays. I'm sure you've seen them with the big eyes. My feeling, and other people said this too, they've reached the end of their genetic line. They don't reproduce anymore. They became pure mental intellect, and they've lost their passion, their sense of creativity. So what they wanted to do was come here, take the best of what we got, whatever it is, and create a race that's partly them and partly us. So the reason they're following generations of people is because maybe they started with your grandparents and they slightly modify the mm-hmm. genetics there. And then your mother or your father, and they modify it a little more. So when they get to you, there's a sort of modification that kind of hooks in with their genetic line. So that's why they follow generations, and that's what they're doing.
Are all of us hybrids, or are only a certain sector of us hybrids?
Well, that's another good question. You guys have done your homework. No, it's good. No, on one level, we're, according to Linda Moulton Howe, and she writes this in this book, we are different than all the other animals on this planet. You know, we make houses, we collect things, we have argument. I mean, maybe animals do, but you know, we write books, we do these things that all the other animals do not do. So my theory is that our consciousness is really not of the earth. And we've been genetically, the evolving primates, the apes or whatever they were actually hybridized with some alien DNA. And that may have happened 200,000 years ago when it started crawling out of the caves and developing, well, later on, 10,000 years, we developed writing and agriculture and the things that humans do that animals don't do. And it's because we're upgraded. So in one sense, we're all hybrids. Human beings in general are hybrids. Now, recently, probably the last 100 or so years, these alien beings, little grays, have been coming back and modifying us a little more, some of us a little more, to get to a genetic breeding ground that can intersect with their DNA.
Thank you. The little grays, I've heard so many interpretations of right. The little grays. From your research, your expertise, do we stem from the little grays?
I think we're all part of a much more distant lineage. Mm-hmm. I think, DNA, somebody, I think it was Gary Nolan from the University of Las Vegas, says DNA is older than Earth itself. DNA, the molecule, is old because it's much more complex. It's much yeah. more developed than the 5 billion years that the Earth has been in existence. It might be 10 billion, according to his theory. So I think DNA is something that may have just come as an emergent property of creation, and it is everywhere. So I think there is a commonality. Yeah. So I don't think we descended from them, but I think somehow we're linked, we're cousins, you know. In one recent contact experience with this woman, Angelie, she met these beings, and these beings said to her, "We're not a different species, we're a different race." So that was a direct message to her about who these beings were. I haven't gotten that clear communication, but we're more connected to them than maybe we'd like to think.
Tell me about your view on Palladians, galactic federations, alliances. Tell me, what's your views on that?
Well, you know, I have to say, and this kind of might upset a lot of people, those names to me are just names. I don't really know what they mean. I mean, I have a sense. If people say they're Pleiadian, I say, congratulations. No, I say, I don't know what that means, because I don't think we're developed enough to understand the distinctions. Yeah, people say they're Arcturians or Syrians, and that's great. And maybe they are, but I don't know the difference. It's like, you know, you could say, if I didn't know anything about Europe, you could say you were French or German, Italian, I'd say that's, but you know, it's like people give names to things, and maybe they do get a message from the Pleiadians, and that's great, but it hasn't been my experience. So when people say that, or the Galactic Federation, I mean, these are very simplistic terms, I feel, I'm judging here, for a kind of phenomena that is, we have yet to understand. So in a simplistic way, you could say, yeah, we're from the Galactic Federation. That means it's like saying something's amazing. I think that word should be outlawed. It's like the, you know, because it doesn't say anything. Yeah, you're amazing, but give me information. Tell me what that means, or this is interesting, or this is, that's, you're nice. When I say those things, I want information.
Do you think there's a, let's call it, speaking of the Federation or however you want to deem it, but do you think there's some sort of overseeing body that's like a group of from different parts of wherever you do? Okay, so that
now means- that's more information. Thank you. I think we're being protected. I don't think we're going to be saved from ourselves. We have to help ourselves out of the mess and the destruction of the planet. But I think there are beings here making sure we don't blow ourselves up. That's why there's been a lot of UFOs over nuclear missile silos in the US and in Russia or the former Soviet Union that deactivated the nuclear codes and then they activated them. And that's been documented. There's a guy named Michael Salas who writes about this. So the deactive and Robert Hastings wrote a whole book about UFOs over nuclear missile silos and military bases. So they're looking out for us to make sure we really don't, you know,
self-destruct
because we're connected to them. I mean, you know, so I think there's been times when we could have had wars or whatever, and it's been, you know, it's been deactivated because, you know, because we're connected to them. They want to see that we make it. It's still up to us to make it through this passageway and make peace on earth and, you know, kumbaya, all that, but it's coming. Utopian, where it's possible, I feel, to live with free energy, because obviously, you know, these UFOs are not filling up their gas tank to get here. They have an energy that they have yet to give us, because just think, all we want to do is make weapons. But if we can get, if we have to change our consciousness, we have to grow up. There's a book by Arthur C. Clarke, Childhood's End. And that was, it's like the end of this childhood, this fighting, this like childish way. That's when the ETs land or come here and they say, yeah, you have to give up your prejudices, your confinement. You know, it's everything John Lennon writes about in Imagine. Imagine no countries, imagine no religion. So this is the possibility. I'm a utopianist. I mean, I believe that's possible. Other people say it's a fantasy, but I think, why not? We've had
exactly.
Hey, why not?
No, I love that.
Do you think that we are? Do you think that we're the most destructive race, or is there one more? Or are there other destructive more than us?
I think there have been races on other planets that have actually destroyed themselves. Exactly. I think Mars is a great example of a planet that used to have life there, and obviously there's some kind of radiation background if you go to Mars. So, you know, it's interesting. Mars is the planet of war and Venus is the planet of love. And the Earth is in between Mars and Venus, love and war. And so I think that's a good question. But yeah, I think now they're invested in us, these beings. And like I said, we still have to clean up the mess we made of our oceans, our land, stop buying plastic, stop making plastic, stop making weapons. We're not even there yet, but at least we're talking about it. We're getting closer. So I don't think we're really going to have open contact until we change. I mean, yes, they're coming and going, and more people are seeing them because they want to plant that seed of possibility. But landing on the White House lawn, I don't think that's going to happen for a while.
I love Utopia, so I'm going to add that to my resume.
Utopia.
It is?
Yes, I'm going to add it. Yes, absolutely.
Okay.
The you'd mentioned about a savior, just, you know, generally.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Trump's the savior. Jesus is the savior. Is there a savior, or are we our own savior? Well,
obviously, if there was a savior, we would have been saved by now. We are not saved. We have to do it ourselves. Like Jesus probably was a very evolved being. He talked about what you can do, but it's up to us to do it. I mean, so we have to emulate the Buddha, the Krishnas, the people that have come. You know, they killed them all. They killed Socrates, the wisest man in Greece. They killed him because they didn't like what he was saying. So, and all the great people, we have to stop killing the saviors, but we still have to save ourselves. We have to, it's up, and it's not easy. It means you have to look at your dark side. You have to look at your addictions, your negativity, your anger, your whatever it is, sadness, depression, all the patterns of behavior. It's like, no one's going to save us from ourselves, but we have enough tools available to do the work. And we have enough really good teachers out there, to have these ascended masters you're talking about. They are giving us tools, but you still have to do it. You just can't sit and eat chocolate and watch the baseball game all day, unless that's your path, of course. I'm not judging it.
So, but you know, it's interesting because you see a lot of people praying in millions, and they pray to whatever they pray to, but they don't seem to get any relief. Do you think it has to do with their being shut down and saying, hey, don't explore your dark side, just stay on the light, and this way? So when something of the dark comes in, they're like, oh, what the hell? You know what I mean? They get knocked out. Do you think we need to start, and I'm not saying become dark, I'm simply saying, do you think we need to start to explore those places?
You have to explore those places. You not becoming dark, but you have to look at where those blocks and those maybe hatreds or resentments or ill feeling, where are they in you? Where are those dark parts of you? And look at them so you can become light. But when you're praying, this is my sort of thing, it's like you're praying just for something else to take you away from whatever you've created. And nothing is going to save you from yourself. It's just...
I was going to ask you about remote viewing, and I'm going to get to that in a second, but you just said something. Okay, so do you pray? And if you do, what do you say? And if you don't, what do you do?
No, that's good. Do I pray? I like to kind of drop into a place inside me that is contemplative, let's call it that. I mean, prayer, maybe it's called praying. I don't know what you call it, but I just drop into a really quiet place and ask for what I want. You know, it's like creating your day. If you listen to Joe Dispenza, every day you create your day, that's a prayer. Intention is a prayer. Attention, energy, focus, these are prayers of how to direct consciousness. So you can pray to the great being, which is our divine self, like we said in the beginning, our true essence that is embodied here beyond the personality, and can say, yes, help me with this. Or because it is, you know, when I used to study with Rampha, you know, Rampha, Jay-Z Knight, that's an ascended master. Jay-Z Knight channeling the being, you know, the Lemurian Atlantean being Rampha, who claimed to be an ascended master. But he says, ask yourself from the Lord God of your being, the Lord God of your being. You know what that means?
I like that.
That's you.
Your higher
right?
self.
That is you, the higher, but the Lord of your being is your soul. The God of your being is the spirit, and the being is the total embodiment. But you know the difference between soul and spirit?
I would love to hear your interpretation, because I've asked quite a few people that question and they really get stumped on it.
Well, many people just use it the same, but I'll give you a key, one key, and then I'll explain it. What is sadness to the soul is laughter to the spirit. Meaning, the spirit was, this is just my interpretation and my definition. I'm not saying this is true. This is how I understand it. The spirit is that thing that started the moment of creation, that essence, and it individualized into fraction into all of us as spirit, but we be in this great creation, but there was no way to learn from our creation until we developed a mechanism to house the emotional or the memories of our creation. So the soul was created to feel, that is the wisdom of the soul, is to feel. So whatever we do on many levels, people call it the Akashic Records, you know, in all those lifetimes, it's embodied in the soul as sort of the child of the spirit. And so the soul is that part of you that's sad and happy and remembers those relationships from the past, or, you know, is traumatized. Every moment is a soul-filled experience. And the spirit is just that thing that is light. And That's okay. So it's like the soul, the spirit, the soul works with the spirit, but the spirit is that great light and the soul is the individualization of experience as embodiment and in the creation. Does that make sense?
Awesome. Yes, I love it. Thank okay. you.
Can I get your yeah. tag on what you were going to ask there? I'll just split it out there. Can I get your view on remote viewing? And
yeah.
is that a projection of your... just your consciousness? Can you give us a simplistic definition?
No. Well, yeah, it is simplistic in a sense, because if we go back to the idea that consciousness is not in your body, that it's non-local, that means that we're connected to all time and all space. And we just, the illusion is that we're in this body. But so you could know anything about everything, anytime. You are non-local. So if I say, close your eyes, drop out of that kind of moment and tell me what do I have sitting next to me? It's not about guessing. It's about letting those images from the non-local reality come into your mind. When I teach it, it's like there's a window that opens in your brain, let's say, and it's like, boom, you get these flashes. So I don't want people to guess. I want them, and I'm teaching this course on Portal to Ascension, starts October 7th. If this program showed then, and drop out of the personality and you tune into the signal. So the two main thing about remote viewing is noticing the difference between the noise and the signal. The noise is the stuff you're always thinking about. Oh, did I call that person? What should I have for dinner? How's this new piece of clothing look? It's like, that's the noise. That, and then the signal, if I'm saying, okay, let's tune into the target, you're going to get a signal that's different than the noise. The idea in remote viewing is able to distinguish the signal from the noise. What is that flash that's coming to you that's not the same recycled stuff that's always going on? And that's the key. If you can do that, then you can remote view anything, but it's getting out of the way.
So I was just going to ask you, okay, so yeah. If someone takes your course,
yes.
How long is the course, number one? And would they be able to start remote viewing quickly, or is it a whole process?
It's instant. We actually do it all the time.
Each
one of us are capable of doing it. When we get these flashes that come to us in the middle of the night, it's like, oh, you're, or creative bursts. It's like, it's not quite the same thing, but it's that same window. You can do it right now. The key is, how much can you get out of your own way, right? Out of your personality, mm-hmm. out of, like, you know, your story. I'm this person. So many people, maybe not you guys, because you're spiritually raw, but you've no, people who haven't done that work on themselves are so invested. This is what happened to me. This is my story. This is who I am. You're a mother, you're a father, you're this, you're that. All those things that you are in the way of the true raw being. So if you can get all that out of the way and just be empty, and then you direct your consciousness, or someone says, I have a target, and they give you just numbers, like, oh, okay, and something comes, and you do develop it. So yeah, you can all do it. Like, and then there are people who can develop it, and then there are people who have just raw talent. You know, like, anyone can take a picture, but not everyone can take a good picture, you know, or play the piano. We can all sit down and play, but not many. So yeah, some people are naturally talented, and there's psychics out there that were born that way. And then there's other people where you can really, if you practice it, and there's a bunch of really good apps on the App Store, one called RV Tournament that I do every day, where I test myself, RV Tournament. And the key to remote viewing is not guessing. Whatever you're guessing is the noise. This is like letting it come. So when I teach a course, it's like, there's a difference between your left brain and your right brain. Your left brain is what you're putting out, boom, boom, boom. And your right brain is what you're receiving. This is about being in the right brain. And it's not about defining something. It's not about saying, oh, this is a tree, or that's a building. It's about not defining something, because defining is a box.
That's the first time I've heard it that way.
Right. You want to take, yeah, you want to take what you're getting, the target, out of the box, because as soon as you say, oh, it's a tree, then you think you know what it is. Right. The best way to do it is to draw a picture or to write an impression. Because when you say it's this, you're always wrong.
For you personally, if I may ask you, how much does meditation or that introspective play as far as your role, as far as all this?
I think sitting with yourself and quieting your mind resets your dial. I try to do it at night before I go to bed, not a formal meditation, but I just drop in. I'm just feeling, you know, I'm just laying there. Sometimes I can't fall asleep, but I'm just dropping into myself. And sometimes during the day, I do a practice. I do a Qigong practice sometimes, or I do this Edgar Cayce sort of meditation. So
well, can you share that? Like, what is that for you?
The Edgar Cayce thing? The Edgar Cayce thing actually involves something called the radial device that kind of sets your frequency. So you hook these things, and it's not electric. You put this like battery called the radiac or some whatever. It's a battery made of nickel and zinc. You put it in cold water. It generates a very weak electrical current that you hook to your wrists and your ankles. And then when I connect this to myself, I really drop into a peaceful state. And whatever's out of balance in my body, the energy seems to like go there and just kind of work on that. So, and then it's like an incredible peaceful sleep. So you're right, Jay, that is the key to all of this, dropping into yourself, because you realize you're not all those things you thought you were.
Drop it into yourself. Okay, so your book, where can people go to buy that?
Well, before I want to say that, I just want to say, yes, this is a collection of essays about this phenomena, and it goes from the exo, the nuts and bolts. Oh yeah, there's ships in the sky and the government's covering up. So it's 11 different essays, but it's progressive. It's a narrative. So it goes from people like Nick Pope, who work for the Ministry of Defense, and they talk to the researchers in there, Linda Moulton Howe, John Mack, who was a psychiatrist at Harvard University. He dealt with abductees, and they talked to Whitley Strieber, and then Daryl Anka, if you know who Daryl Anka is, he is the channel for Bashar, and he's embodying the ET stuff. So I go from the external to the internal. So you can get it on Amazon, Making Contact, Alan Steinfeld. It's out there. You can get it at Barnes & Noble. Usually ask for it at Barnes & Noble. If it's not there, just buy it.
That's awesome. Thank you. How long did it take you to write this book? Because that's a lot of information, meaning a lot of really interesting people.
Well, I knew these people because after I had my contact experience, I was really obsessed with the subject. So I would just meet everyone and meet all the big players, and we became friends. You know, you go to these conferences, you go out to dinner, you hang out. So all these people were my friends, really. That's so weird. I called them up and said, you know, I got this idea for this book. You want to contribute a chapter? And like people like Linda Moulton Howe, who's really the top of her field. I would say in a field of mostly men, she has risen to the top of the line. So she took some time and wrote a chapter for me. And, you know, Grant Cameron, he looked at every U.S. president and their relationship to UFOs. And who else is in there? JJ and Desiree Hertok, who are really spiritual awakened masters. Those are ascended, and they're also very much into these interdimensional beings. They wrote a chapter for me. And Mary Rodwell, who worked with star seeds, people, children who have come forth and said, oh, you know, they have these memories of these other planets, other lifetimes and other planets. So she has a whole chapter about these downloads from these children. So it took me about a year. That's what I did in 2020, but it didn't take me that long because I had a lot of the foundation for all this in place. So it was
you knew the direction and the vision you wanted to go with it.
Yes. Well, the vision came to me. Yeah. What?
I want to your experience with the Hudson Valley.
Right. Well, but the Hudson Valley is a major sighting place. My experiences happened more out west in Sedona, in New Mexico, in those Western states, maybe some California. But yeah, you can feel there's a Hudson, the Hudson River itself is an energetic vortex, and the Hudson Valley is definitely a place for sightings. But I don't think I've had any experiences in the Hudson Valley. You have?
Oh no, but I'm mad. I feel like I'm hearing aliens here ringing the phone, but whatever. Hold on, we're interviewing someone.
Are they phoning home?
Yeah, it must be. What do you think about, like, real quick, when people go to your YouTube channel, what experience would you like for them to get there when they watch it there?
Well, thank you for asking, because my YouTube channel is really, I put a lot of my research there. So all the experts in the field are there. I want people to get a sense from reading this book and going to my YouTube channel about what's possible, that we're not alone. Open up your mind to the fact that there are beings that are intersecting with our reality, and welcome them in, because there's nothing to be afraid of.
I got you. Cool.
I apologize. Someone knocked on the door. That's why the dog started barking.
Okay.
Let it out. No worries. You are a very, hey, listen, you're a really cool guest, and I want to thank you for being here.
So much fun. Thank you.
It's great talking to you, because you really get it. Maybe we'll meet in Florida. And
all right, everybody. That is Mr. Alan Steinfeld. And thank you very much. It's really great to have you on here. Much love to you. Thank you for your dedication and your service. The links are in the description below, everybody. The YouTube channel. He's got a great course coming up. So make sure you check that out. Everything will be there for you. Make sure, most importantly, as he mentioned, buy the book. So there's really some cool stuff he's got going on there. Again, thank you. It's very, very cool to meet you. You're a great guy. We appreciate that. Yeah, for sure.
Let's stay in touch. Let's do it again. We could do maybe you'll come to my remote viewing course, actually.
Yes.
I'd love to take it.
All right. I'll make sure you get something. Thank you both.
Thank you very much.
And thank you, everybody, for having us in your homes, as you always do. And we hope you found this as fascinating as we did today. We'll see you next time. Much love.
Thank you so much, everyone. And together, we are turning the universal key to global harmony and creating a unified world. Thank you so much for tuning in. And remember, tune in often. Tell all your friends, and most importantly, may all your dreams come true. Many blessings. I'd like to share a story. While it may sound fictional, it's very real and happening right now in front of our very eyes. It's called The Great Awakening. Our sisters and brothers that come on Spiritually Raw are doing everything to help expand global consciousness, and in many cases, putting everything on the line to share their messages about what's happening around the world for the greater good of humanity, while exposing the truth of the deep state and the dark forces behind it all. We are living in the most unbelievable times, some may even say biblical, scary for many and yet exhilarating for others. Together we are taking part in getting everyone acclimated to the Great Awakening process and the exciting new discoveries that lie ahead. The sad part is many of our amazing guests are being heavily censored, socially shamed, and outright banned on many platforms for exposing the truth and piercing the veil. By becoming a viewer, you bring your powerful energy towards this global movement of other truth seekers. If you're resonating with our show, please let us know by hitting the like button, sharing, subscribing, turn on the notification, and leave some comments. Together, we will turn the universal key to global harmony and create a unified world. And remember, tune in often, tell all your friends, and most importantly, may all your dreams come true. Thanks, and God bless patriots worldwide.